Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I'm all good.
I bet you wish you hadn't said that word or started to say it anyway. Glad I didn't have to say
Well, astrological or astronomical?
Either.
Yeah, well, it can be either, can't it, really? But the weather is actually on the improve, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's rather lovely.
Yeah, and it does mean that our dogs actually react slightly differently, because in the wet and the cold, they will sort of either go out and think, oh, it's thoroughly great to get soaking wet and come back in and shake all over the place. Or they'll be sort of in their bed or the basket, sort of cuddle up and nice and warm. But in the summer, they like to get out and about, and not a good idea to let them lay in the sun for too long, is it?
Well, it's a tricky one, because in the last couple of days we've been able to put our little olds out for an airing, but and you think, well, that will do them good, but it's just they're so used to the weather that's been so grim.
Yeah.
That suddenly, when you start putting them out in the sunshine, be careful that, especially if they are elderly, that they're not in direct sunlight. Make sure they actually want to be out. I mean, we do obviously give them the choice. We don't tack them to the ground. But and you think, well, it's nice. They need all the, the vitamin D, because it's been a long old
Yeah.
what's it, hasn't it?
Oh,
So,
yeah.
but then, yeah, just be careful. If they're elderly, they get overheated quite quickly, and their thin little thin fur, they can then obviously get a bit of, well, they can get heat stroke, but sunburn as well.
I was going to ask you about that, the sunburn thing, because we as humans go out there. I mean, me in particular, if I go out in the sun, I'm just like a lobster within about 10 minutes. And of course, I stay out any longer and I burn, and I'm rather susceptible to the effects of the sun. I mean, the dogs are susceptible in the same way.
Well, I know cats are. I know from if you get a white cat with a very pink nose, they can get, if they love, they're a nightmare for lying in the sun, and they can get, especially on their ears where there's less fur, they can get little cancers build up. So there's nothing to say that dogs wouldn't do the same. Obviously, in the wild, they're a bit more sensible, I would think, and they probably bathe in, like dust and mud and such like that. So it sort of gives them a bit of a protection, a bit like we would put sun cream on. Our new girl's got a huge pink stripe down her nose, so we keep saying we ought to put sun cream just on the stripe.
I was going to say, do they
So
do sun cream for dogs?
I do sun cream
They
for,
do.
yeah, it's a,
Wow.
well, it's a barrier thing.
Oh, yeah.
To I forget even know what it is, but a friend of ours used to put it on her cat's ears, and that, because they're susceptible. So I think a lot of it depends on the type of dog you've got, how roughy toughy it is, and because you look at the Samoyeds, which are white, a white northern
Yeah.
cold person, cold area dog, but they will lie around in the sun equally, but they have a dense fur, so that fur insulates both from the cold and the heat. And you see,
Yeah.
then that's the other thing we go and do. We've got quite a dense coat dog, and so we march it off to the groomers to have it completely shaved, because we think, oh, who would want all that fur in the summer? And we think, oh, it's a marvellous idea, go and have it all cut off. Well, it's not, because obviously it's an insulator in both directions.
Yeah, well, since you've been talking about that stuff, I thought, let's have a little look and see if there is actually sun cream.
Oh, have
And well,
you?
there's all I'm really surprised at what I've just found. There's a sun mist spray for dogs, because I mean, obviously you can't put cream on a dog's fur, but you can spray them, I suppose,
You
with
can.
stuff. But then there's a sunblock t-shirt,
Yes, well,
which I think is wonderful. I'm looking at pictures of dogs here. Then there's a powder, and then there's a skin, snout, and paws nourishing balm as well. So there are all sorts of bits you can get.
it's amazing, isn't it? And yeah, funny enough, we've got we use a t-shirt for one of our dogs. Funny enough, saying that, we didn't use it the other year, because
Yeah.
it was a grim year, but and that's it's a sort of a summer tee, and so they don't get too much sunlight, because she's got quite a balding back, so that helps from that area. And we were using it as much as anything, walking out on the forest if there's ticks, lots of ticks, so many ticks at the moment, and
Yeah.
fleas. And so you can use t-shirts as a barrier for ticks and fleas. It's not a great barrier, but it might give you a fighting chance against them.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a thing, as I say, looking at some of this stuff here. Somebody's been quite inventive, and there's an awful lot of stuff, and you think some of it's going to work, some of it's not. But the t-shirt thing is absolutely wonderful. You see the pictures of these dogs in these t-shirts and that. But the other thing is, of course, a lot of dogs actually like to be in the sun without actually realizing just how harmful it can be, and they'll just lay there and toast, like they will lay in front of a fire and toast until there's almost smoke coming off of them.
I know. And it's odd, isn't it? Because you think, well, wouldn't they just get up and move? And I do know
the sensible ones do.
Yeah, and I know some dogs that won't. And I suppose it's up to us, as the owner, to maybe relocate them. What's quite good, if you can be bothered, is if you create something like a sand pit for your dog, you can buy an ordinary sand pit and then fill it with sand rather than dig a hole in the garden. And then, you know, they do like basking in that because the sand holds the heat. And on a day that's not as warm or into the evening, then they sort of cover themselves. So they're sort of protecting themselves. They dig a little hole and protect themselves in it. Equally, you can have hours of fun with your sandpit, hiding items in the sand and getting them to find them.
Yeah.
So, but sensible items.
In my case, you build sandcastles, but that's another
story.
Well,
you could do that as well.
You could do, couldn't we, really? Yeah, it'd be rather good.
Yeah.
And of course, the younger dogs are not quite so bad, but you still got to look after them. But the older dogs, a lot of them seem to know quite what to do. They'll lay in the sun for about 10 minutes, and then they'll look around and think, where's the shade? So always make sure there's some shade for your dog who's maybe getting on in years.
Also, you see, if the other side is, if your dog is very bonded to you, and you're sitting out in the sun, and your dog's sitting next to you or near you, not necessarily if you're on a sun lounger, under the sun lounger, which actually would be quite sensible, but maybe on the sun lounger in the direct heat. So be aware of that, because that's not necessarily through choice. You have to look at the psychological angle from the dog's point of view. If it's very bonded or over bonded and follows you around the house, it's going to ultimately then follow you out into the garden. So whereas the dog wouldn't ordinarily sit out in the sun for the same length of time, but because you're sitting out there, so you need to be actually proactive and think, well, I think it's too hot for my dog, so I'm going to sit out and bake myself silly, but the dog's going to be indoors. So I think that's the sensible thing to do. So it's about knowing your dog. And also with these young pups, there's loads of pups out there now at the moment. Remember, they haven't got their little thermostat sorted out yet, so they can get overheated so quickly, and it's just awful. So really, you know, if the weather sort of continues and we get a really good summer, you're going to have to start thinking about the times of the day you walk your dog and know how hot it is. But pups, really, they can get overheated very quickly. And, okay, you can cool them down with some water, but the trick is, it's like anything, don't let them get overheated in the first place. You know, we don't have to, but everybody that lives in a house, you don't need to. They just make sure the dogs are indoors. But if you're out in the garden, by rights, they want to be out with you and charging around. So therefore they get physically hot because they're charging around, and then they get sort of body hot because they're in direct sunlight.
Yeah, I think the rule there, when the weather gets really, really hot, as we're led to believe it's going to, first thing in the morning, walk your dog. Last thing at night, walk your dog. But in between, no, it's not that important to take your dog out on a hike in the middle of in the midday sun, so to speak. The other thing, of course, is that if you are going to be away from home for any period of time in the warm weather, there are some very reasonably priced collapsible water bowls, aren't there, that you can get. Just take a bottle of water and a collapsible water bowl, and your dog can drink water as well.
Yeah. I've teach mine just to drink out my hand as well, because on the day that you've forgotten the water bowl...
Now you're showing off.
Yes, I am. So they can just lick it out your hand. Obviously, you've got ice cubes and such. They can. I'm suspicious of giving your dog too many things like ice cubes because it's that sudden cold. But they do. Lots of dogs do like ice cubes. They do also like if you make up your own sort of little cubes with summer berries. Get me summer berries and Ooh. Coconut oil. They like things like that. But again, be careful. It's only like something like 10% of their daily intake that should be that. So don't overdo it.
What about things like ice cream? Because you see this frequently, dog with an ice cream, you know. And my first thought on that is, oh, the sugar content in ice cream is way, way too high. It's okay occasionally, but you wouldn't want to do that very often.
It's very different ice cream to what we would have. Hence, it says doggy ice cream.
No, I'm not talking about the doggy ice cream. I'm talking about a day at the beach or a day out. And, you know, everybody gets an ice cream and Rover gets one too. And you see these pictures of a dog licking away at the ice cream.
Yeah, I think I'd just be careful. It's about the size of the dog and how much ice cream that you're going to give them.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's quite sweet to save a little bit for them, I appreciate, but just be aware, if your dog is used to then getting a bit of your ice cream, who's to say when it's off the lead it doesn't go galloping up to that child with a 99 and take the whole thing out of its hand, and it's not your child, and it's definitely not your dog's 99, so you might actually end up having to pay an awful lot of money for a few more 99s, which aren't cheap, I see.
99s are not 99p anymore.
They're not.
So you're actually get ice cream for dogs?
Yes, a lot of the you know, if you start moving around now where the ice cream vans are out, as a bit of a side shuffle, they're selling dog ice cream.
Really?
As well, yeah.
Oh wow. Oh, okay.
So that's obviously got ingredients specifically for dogs. It's probably about the same like the 99. It's not 99p anymore. It's jolly expensive. But again, it's all sort of human choices. I do sound like a miserable old thing where I don't get these things for my dogs, but I do try and keep everything as natural as possible. And, you know, they then often come in tubs and then there's rubbish. There's all extra.
Yeah, the other thing, of course, with the sunshine and the hot weather, away from the food and away from all the ice creams and stuff, is if you're lucky to have some local heathland or forest or whatever around you, there's the prospect in the hot weather of snakes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I trotted past one the other day. It's the first one I've seen this year. Yeah. I bumped into a lizard a while back. That was another fairly warm day. But, yeah, they're on the move, the snakes. So they've been warming up since about March.
There are quite a few of them, aren't there?
Yeah. And this one was, I was level with it and the dogs were ahead of me, fortunately. And so whether they'd gone over or it had just got out the time that I went past. And it made me jump. And as I jumped, I must have landed making quite a noise with my jump.
Yeah.
And it was fine until I landed having jumped, not too high in the air, but I felt like I jumped 6 foot. Mm. And as I landed, the snake coiled and then hissed at me. So it was an adder. And that's the thing, you know, the dogs then look round to see what I was doing and very quickly they would start coming back to see why is Wendy leaping around in the air.
Well, they'd come back to try and protect you, wouldn't they?
Well, or just to be curious and you don't want that. So I very quickly pulled myself together and carried on because last thing we want is snake bites. So dogs that are likely to get bitten logically are the things like the spaniels that are bouncing around in the heathland. This one was on the path. I wasn't bouncing around in the heathland, but this was on the path sunning itself.
Yeah.
So collies, spaniels quite often get bitten on the nose because they put their little snout down to see what's going on. I think Labradors think they're sausages, so that's why they get bitten.
Labradors will probably try and eat them.
Yeah. A lot of the gun dogs and some of the terriers are a bit too quick for them. I mean, all dogs can get bitten. So, but I think just beware. And if your dog is bitten, some people are totally unaware and their dog can bolt because it's a nasty bite. It can run off and or go to ground, and that's a trouble. So, but if it does get bitten and you know it's bitten, pick it up if you can, not the snake, but the dog, pick it up and get it to the vet. That's what I would recommend that you
do. Okay, so watch out for the snakes. Now, we were talking food just a while ago about sort of ice creams and stuff. One of the other things, and which does seem to be a thing these days with human diets changing, with the climate change efforts to actually reduce dairy farming, reduce meat intake, to try and reduce emissions. Lots of people are trying to impose this sort of thing on their dogs as well, and I'm questioning that. Where do you stand on this one, and what would you advise on this? I mean, because I think originally Linda McCartney was one of those that tried to do this, turn their dog into a vegetarian.
I certainly wouldn't. I think it's a load of old phooey. I think it makes me laugh when they're blaming the cows and all the other things. And you think, look at the traffic out there. Look at all the other bits and pieces. And the poor cows get blamed for so many different things. And I'm a vegetarian, and I'm a great believer in people eating more fruit and vegetables and being sensible about their diet. But when it comes to dogs, I would not impose my vegetarianism on them at all. They are, they eat fruit and vegetables and meat. That's what dogs do. They eat a high percentage of meat, but also in times of plenty, if they're doing their own thing, let's say they're out, they're not necessarily a wild dog, but let's say a street dog, they're very picky in what they eat, and they do eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. So,
but if you were to put down, let's just say, for instance, you were to put down a plate full of juicy beef or something, mince or something on one plate, and a pile of veg on the other plate, and you put a dog in front of them, which plate would disappear first?
I suspect this is a Linda McCartney sausage, obviously. Other sausages are available, I'm quite sure. I suspect the meat would go very quickly. But yes. however said that, my girls, they do love vegetables. So
I'm not saying the dogs don't like them. I mean, I had Dexter years ago, and one of his little treats was he'd sit there, if you were peeling potatoes, you'd never have any peelings to throw away or do anything else with, because he'd eat them.
Oh, really?
He'd love to eat them.
Not
even raw. Yeah. But you see, thing is, you also, if you had steak, he was known for sort of stealing the turkey off the side at Christmas if you weren't careful. He loved his meat, mind you. He loved his food, but his preference would always have been meat.
Yeah, you look at the dog's mouth. I mean, it's set up to eat meat. I mean, it's not. It's if you look at a sheep's mouth, it's completely different.
Mm.
It grazes. It munches and grazes, and goats, they browse. They do all sorts of things. So, its whole body, its whole digestive system is set up to eat what it's meant to eat. And it just makes us a load of old power freaks thinking, oh, well, my dog's going to be vegetarian. We do get this at class. A lot of people, announce that they're vegan or vegetarian and they want their dog to be vegetarian. And sadly, my quickest response is they perhaps should have got a rabbit, because I don't believe in...
That's the welfare of a dog, isn't it?
It is.
Really. I think we're going to have to sort of look at this one a bit further in a month's time, I think, Wendy, because there we've, we've well and truly run out of time talking about ice creams and snakes and all sorts of bits
and
pieces.
Just made me hungry now. Thank you,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, I think so. Wendy, it's been good to catch up and say we will talk some more food in a month's time. But for now, Wendy Claxton, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.